Revelation chapter 22. We're not going to go over all of the things that we've gone over a lot of times. Dre, if you will, my computer not want to allow me to roll. So go about the 16th verse and see how that works, because I'm going to actually redo my computer, and until then, you'll have to be my eyes for me, but that's okay.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star.
Now, the 16th verse is where we want to really want to focus in, the 16th through the end of that chapter. But what I want to do is show that the pattern has been set here for us to understand that there is the threefold witness that the Bible talks about, and the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word be established. And so the last witness that we have on the scene is telling you who I am. So you can't trust me for no other reason. Do you understand who I am? That's almost the equivalent that I can't swear by anybody else, you know. So I'll just go to the top one on the line, and that's me. I'm the root and the offspring of David. So now that we see in that 16th verse, he's going to talk about who he is. I want you to go back to the 8th verse, and let's get our other two witnesses, and then we'll be ready to move forward. I've heard people say that so much, and I've let it slip into my vocabulary. Most time when people say move forward, that means we're not going to deal with the issue or what I've done wrong. We're going to just act like I've done nothing and move forward. Or we're going to let it be that somebody said something and no repentance has been done, and we're going to move forward. Watch people when they say they want to move forward. Because sometimes you need to stay right where you are and clean up your mess. This is the illustration of my granddaddy's day, and I still watching my time. My granddaddy used to help us load boxes on a big truck that he used to haul pulp wood on. When he got older, he would take boxes and get them out of big dumpsters and flatten them out and have them stacked up maybe 10 or 15 feet high and have a chain on them and lock them down. And I don't know what the truck would weigh, but the truck might be 20 feet long. The truck looked like it, if you ever seen the Soul Train, they were the train, looked like the Soul Train moving side to side. His truck going down the road would look like that, and it wouldn't turn over. And we would be loading the boxes up on the truck, and there would be boxes, because he owned a lot of land. And he'd have boxes scattered in what he called his barn. And we would take the boxes, and we'd put them up on the truck as high as we could reach them. When we couldn't reach high enough, we'd hand them to him, and he'd stack them. Well, me, he wasn't paying that much, but maybe $3 a day. I make that much selling drink bottles. But anyway, it was working with granddaddy. I'd reach down with one hand and get the flat one and give it to him. Boy, what's wrong with that other hand? You know, because you'd be propped on one hand getting the other one like you didn't want to do it. So he taught you how to work with both hands. Then you'd be where their boxes are still put together with big staples in it. So you want to move to where there's one already flat and it's easy to pick up. Boy, clean up under your feet. Why are you going way over there? But you know what? Almost in anything in life, if you got to wash dishes, you want to walk all the way across the room and wash that. Clean up where you are and make it happen. Clean, what did Jesus say? Judge not, that you be not judged, you hypocrite. You see that easy one over there to deal with her or with him? First, hypocrite, use two hands. Clean under your feet. Get the beam out of your own eye, then you can see clearly how to get the mote out of your brother's eye, right? That's what he said. Now, how does that have anything to do with the revelation? I want to clean under our feet right here. I want to pull and see what's right here in this passage. It's easy to go somewhere else. So when I have Tree to go to the 8th verse and show us what's going on here, otherwise I'm going to clean under our feet and get this thing made plain for us. Read it, Tree.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them.
first witness on this is John in this 22nd chapter. You could go back and say, well, we met with John in other chapters. We're in chapter 22 now. It's been separated for us to make it easy for us, and so that's why I'm going to explain it that way. Go ahead, Tree.
And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things.
Mm-hmm. We talked about him, and we talked about what that word worship could mean. I'm not going to recover it today. And I know you all probably say thank you. Go ahead, Drew.
Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for mm-hmm. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book.
We've talked about that even the angel himself said that he is a fellow slave, and he is of your brethren the prophets. And that lets you know that we truly do have a citizenship in heaven. Notice what he says. I am a fellow servant. And of thy brethren, the prophets. We are working for the same one. Read some more, Dree.
Worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy, of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still.
This letter is written to seven churches in Asia. This information is in the midst of the incursion. Help me find a different word. My mind not doing right. I don't want to. The onslaught of varying opposition to what the Word of God is, who Jesus is about. It has varying different cults, persecutions, and things to move them from what's going on with what God wants. There was an old song that says, the host of sin are pressing hard to draw me from the skies. Maybe the person that wrote that scripture knew our citizenship was in heaven. Read some more.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me.
We did our emphasis on the reward on Thursday. The reward, which is dealing with, at this particular time, the wages, the pay. Look the word up. You'll see it's about the pay. Read some more, please.
To give every man according as his work shall be.
And we use the parable to show that about the kingdom of heaven. Since Jesus is talking, and since he is the king of the kingdom of heaven, we use the parable that Jesus gave about the kingdom of heaven. And we show that the individual that did what they were told, they didn't come and hire themselves. But there was a wage that was given. There was a wage to be expected. Read some more, Dream.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
And now again, after I tell you about your wage, then I validate it with who I am. Until we understand it, when he says, I'm me, he doesn't think I'm you and you are me. He says, I'm me. That ought to mean something to the hearts of the people, especially to those that have seen the first chapter. It wouldn't have been in chapters when they read the letter, Elijah. They would have already seen him with the eyes like flame of fire. They would have already seen his feet like brass. They would have known his voice and sound like water, just like what they heard in Exodus when God spoke on the mountain. The people said, oh, we ain't going to that Moses. You go. You go. If anybody die, let it be you, Moses. We would have a representative type government. Read some more, Dream.
Blessed are they that do his commandments.
The only one that's blessed, Elijah, are those that do his commandments. Do you understand that, Gabriel? The only ones. So if those that don't do his commandments, they're outside of the realm of those that's in this little group. And when I say little group, I don't mean little like in number. I mean, it don't give a whole lot. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments. Why are they blessed?
Why are they blessed? 28 Matthew verse 19. I need, the only reason I need to read this one, whereas I wouldn't read it before, is because of the fact in our day, people don't believe we're supposed to do his commandments. They don't believe we're supposed to do what God says. But while Dree is looking it up, Romans 6 and 23 says the wages, the pay of sin is death. God pays the sinner. You cannot get away with God not paying you. But it said the gift of God is eternal life. And we went through that on Thursday, where it said the gift of God is eternal life. We don't have to go there. I show you other places where that's your pay. But what does it say in Matthew 28 and 19?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Go ye therefore. When did he say that? He said that if he got up out of the grave and said, all power is mine. Now I'm sending you to represent me. You're getting ready to go and be a light to the Gentiles. 49th chapter 6 verse of Isaiah. You don't have to read it now. But I'm just letting you know, you're getting ready to go and be a light of the Gentiles, but you're doing it for me. How do you know that you're doing it for me? Do it in the name of my Father. I come in the Father's name, so do it in the name of the Son. I'm going to give you the power by the Holy Spirit. Do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and teach them what? Read it again. Dre, it's so beautiful and so plain.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
First thing, make them disciples. All of the nations. Because when God chose, remember, he chose one man. He didn't choose one nation. 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. When the Most High separated the nations, he did according, your authorized version will say to the sons of Israel. But there are some manuscripts that tell you it's did to the sons of the sons of God, the Beniha Elohim. And if you read the rest of that 32nd chapter, you will see that the other nations had other gods because he warned them, don't go there and learn what the other gods said. God gave Satan what he told Satan, told Jesus in Luke chapter 4, the kingdom of the world is mine. Yeah, mine.
I rule the world.
You know, the cartoons say, I'm going to rule the world. They have little evil little people. Let me tell you something, Josiah. While you're 6 years old, let me tell you, little teenager and preteen, when you see these cartoons that say the man want to rule the world, it's real. When you hear them talk about United Nations, or you hear them go back and talk about the League of Nations, when you talk about presidents, dictators, when you hear them talk about kings, man wants to rule the world. I had a man yesterday tell me that there's two kind of laws in the world. There's God's and there's man's. And you have to keep God's laws, then God's laws and man's laws are separate. That's a damnable lie. God's laws rule everything. And when man laws goes against God, that does not mean that God won't judge. God will judge man and judge his laws and judge us. There are times when there are certain laws that men have that's okay to have because they have a position of judgment. But there are some laws that are outside of the realm of God. It's wicked for any nation to teach that evolution is what we're going to teach in our schools. And this is what the League of Mankind is that we're going to teach. We're going to teach that. We're going to teach people that there is no God that created the world. So when you say go into all nations, I could go into more than that, but I'm looking at my time in my mind. Go into all nations and make them disciples. What else, Dree?
Baptizing them in the name of the Father. And of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Baptizing them in the name or the authority of the three that make up the one God. What else?
Teaching them to observe all things.
Teaching them to observe all things. Does anybody remember what Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 says off the top of your head? Think not that I have come to destroy the law. Read it, because I need you to have that in your head. We need it in our head. Because he's still talking like commandments matter. And he's raised from the dead.
Think not that I am come to destroy
the law. That means don't let your mind wrap around. There's no kind of way. Don't do it up. This is a command. This is one of the commandments that you're to teach the nation. Say it again.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
I was taught as a boy, and I have it even in a little black book called a discipline. They call it discipline. That anything without clear New Testament teaching is invalid. Well, the New Testament does not tell me that bestiality is wicked. Jesus said,
John 5:39, search the scriptures. There was no New Testament written. Mm-hmm. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. They don't go through everything that's in what we call the Old Testament and bring out everything, but the principles are there. I wish I could have the time to develop that fully, but I don't. He says, I came to fulfill it. Look at Romans 8:4. Because I want you to understand, is it really important since Jesus said he fulfilled it? Then we don't have to do it, right, Rich? In that argument? Jesus fulfilled the law, and we're good. I'm covered by the blood, a man told me yesterday. I said, well, what does that mean? Because he didn't have a good answer. Because I could give you a quart of Jesus' blood if they had saved it, and you could put it all over you, and you could still go to hell. It's not the blood. It's what the blood represents. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It's the life that he gave. Please read that, Dree. What does that Romans 8:4? Anybody that's got it, I don't care. I just want to read it.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
That, I know that's the scripture that I want, but it just seems like it don't give you the thrust of what's going on. Go to whichever one you think can get us there. Tell us which verse it is, whether it's one or two. What?
I'll go back to one.
She's going to back to one, okay? Now, this is to Romans, people that were not. This is part of that. The light to the Gentiles. This is part of that where he said go and teach all nations. But they just happened to be in the same place. But they were still a different nation. They had different gods. They had Augustus as God. They had maybe Jupiter in some places as God. We won't go through all of their names. Read the sweet word of God, please.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Teach the nations that the condemnation is on the world. It's not to them that are in Christ Jesus. You're not in Christ Jesus, you're condemned. Read some more.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Now, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, there's no condemnation to them. Now, understand in some translations, some of your Bibles won't have that. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But guess what? If they use a different manuscript for yours, watch how we still have that in there, okay? Read the next part.
For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
The law had a Spirit of life. When we see law, a lot of times when we talk about in the Old Testament, if they had translated the instruction, you wouldn't have that problem. Because Torah is instruction. The Greek word is nomos, and they use it every time as law. Read some more.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
See how law is used two times? Mm-hmm. You got a law of the Spirit of life, and they got a law of sin and death. See, I'm just telling you. He said, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the writer is saying, I'm in Christ Jesus. And the law of the Spirit of life made me free from the law of sin and death. Read some more.
For what the law could not do. In that it was weak through the flesh.
Why was the law weak through the flesh? I'm going to give you two quick illustrations. Saul did not do what God told him to do with Amalek. And in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, he did not destroy God's enemy. The enemy that God said would be destroyed in Numbers chapter 24. The enemy of God that we see in Exodus chapter 17. And the enemy of God in Deuteronomy 25. That was supposed to be destroyed because they attacked Israel. Tim, you went too fast. Did you want to write it down? I can go. Exodus 17. Amalek attacked the children of Israel. I'm not sure which verse. It may be 8 and 9, but if you read the whole chapter, it's good for your heart. Deuteronomy will be the 25th chapter, 17th and 18th verse. God, maybe I'm going to deal with them. We'll go back to Numbers chapter 24, so we don't have to get it right now, but it's in Numbers 24 where Amalek will be dealt with. And in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, I believe that's where he had the issue with Amalek. They were supposed, that was God's enemy. They need to be destroyed. Saul did not do what God told him to do. He was supposed to destroy.
Utterly.
Like when Israel, when they say their sin has come to the uttermost, when you're in 1 Thessalonians, the utmost, utterly, that means it's up there. So they have treasured up wrath until the day of wrath, and God wanted it dealt with. You prolonged it. What Saul did was obfuscated God's judgment. Let's go to the 23rd verse. Since I told you he didn't obey, see what Samuel has to say about that. 15:23. It's okay. A pause don't hurt anybody. It gets them to think. What is it going to say in 15:23? Saul wants to tell him, I'm going to sacrifice all these animals.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
You didn't sacrifice these animals. I mean, you didn't kill these animals. I'm sorry. All the animals and the people were supposed to be destroyed. They were supposed to be wiped out. I'm going to show you how to deal with sin. I'm going to show you how I deal with my enemies. I'm going to give you an object, a concrete picture. You're going to change my judgment and let some live and animals too? And tell me, this is what says, and tell me you obey like I'm stupid? Let me tell you what God got to say about that. He said rebellion is what?
As the sin of witchcraft.
You might as well got into witchcraft because what you have done is equal. Read.
And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
When you go and teach all nations to observe all that I have them to do, if you teach them a bubblegum gospel and they end up being rebellious, you might as well taught them witchcraft. And stubbornness is the same thing as what?
Iniquity and idolatry.
You might as well teach the people to be lawless, not follow any of my laws and bow down to idols. Saul, what you have done is all of that. And the point being made is this. Saul was going to sacrifice the animal. There is a scripture in that 15th chapter. I don't remember what verse it is, but it says obedience is better than sacrifice. Somebody look it up. What verse is it? I don't know. I just know it's in there. He tell them obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. Okay, so it was the verse before. Okay, read it. I knew it was in there.
And Samuel said, hath Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings
and you know
sacrifices?
What? That's 22. Go back to 20 and see what it says. Let me show what I'm getting ready to show you. Because I was going to give you two illustrations, but I spent more time on this one than I wanted to. I think this will be good enough. He says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, that it was weak according to the flesh. Okay, I want to show you what the law. Saul was going to try to keep the law and make a sacrifice. That's what he was going to do. When I said, then how was it weak in the flesh? Saul was going to keep the law, but he had disobeyed. So Saul is going to show that I can keep the law by making sacrifice and everything will be all right. And Samuel said, no, it's not. What you have done is equal to witchcraft, idolatry, and lawlessness. Don't come and offer God a sacrifice. The sacrifice was not for your rebellion. It was not for your lawlessness. It was for whenever you did a sin that was inadvertent. It takes more whenever you do a sin that's against God in a sacrifice. 51st chapter of a book of Psalms, David said, what you want, God, is a humble and a contrite spirit. That you will not despise. So we're not going to read it because of time, but David said, if you want an offering, I can give you that. I'm the king. I take one from every family in here. But it still would be weak in the flesh. If my heart ain't right, you don't want my sacrifice. Street, take me to where I need to be.
And Saul said unto Samuel.
15 what verse?
20.
15:20. Beautiful.
Yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh.
Liar, liar. Pants what?
All right,
go ahead.
And have gone the way which Yahweh sent me. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.
And you brought him, but he's destroyed. You have changed the definition of destroyed. Mm-hmm. You have changed the definition of destroyed to I have subjugated him and put him under me. And I have shamed him. Maybe I'm going to make a league with him. Maybe I'm going to make him a servant. But you changed the definition. Beware when people change God's definitions and make it easy. That, well, God just wants you to love. God does not want a man live with a man as he does with a woman, period. And does not want a man live with a woman unless it's his wife, period. Don't change the word. Well, we love each other. You love wickedness and idolatry. Read some more.
I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed.
He reminded me of President Obama right there. When you're the president, don't nobody go and make things and have the IRS going in people's accounts and you just say, well, I didn't know. You are the president. You don't have people going in and doing stuff in war and you don't know. You don't get up and almost 10 or 12 times say, I don't know. I just found out when I heard the news. That's no excuse with God. It was no excuse for Samuel and it was no excuse on your job. When you on a job or you a soldier and your platoon is to do this, that, or the other, clean up this or destroy that, well, the people decided to do something else. I didn't know it. You can't get away with that in the army, can you? You can't get away with that on the job. A leader's position is to know, to be accountable. Rocio, you have children and you have a babysitter. And they do something egregious to you. Well, I didn't know. The babysitter took them to Canada. And, but you hired that person in no background check. See, I see these detective shows on TV a lot. Sometimes they call unsolved mysteries or they're different things like that. And they show sometimes that the person that you hired, you didn't even check. Mm-hmm. You really want to get out of the house. I understand things can happen, but that's a slight illustration. At least if you didn't do any background check or get no referral, I worked with a man that hired a guy that was a crook. And I had told him, I said, man, why don't you do a background investigation before we hire him? He didn't smell right to me. And I'm not talking about this. It's a mental smell. You know what I'm saying? It is mail right. To take a Marvel comic or a DC comic idea, my spider senses were tingling. And I'm like, there's something wrong with him. When he ended up doing stuff, he felt bad. Saul said, the people, the king. In other words, take responsibility. Mm-hmm. The last little illustration, the 10-second one, your football coach, you have the wrong person, you got the wrong quarterback, you got the wrong whatever, and you keep losing, and you say, well, the quarterback did it. Or this person, we're going to get rid of you. We ain't rid of coach. So, it's on you, buddy. Hire better men. Read some more.
But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh, thy God, and Gilgal.
We're going to keep the law and make sacrifices. Read some more again.
And Samuel said, has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
That's enough of that. Let's go back to Romans, because now we want to talk about the law, being weak in the flesh. But the law, let's say, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the
flesh, but after the spirit.
The righteousness of the law. So when you say Christ fulfilled the law, he fulfilled it, and we are supposed to fulfill it as well. So when he tells them to go into all nations and teach them to observe all things, read it, read back in 20. Yeah, read Matthew, back in Matthew chapter 28. You'll be around verse 20 now. When he sent them into the world to teach all nations.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
This is the last thing I'm going to say on that right there. When you see teaching them all things whatsoever I commanded you, you have to go back and read the Gospels to see what he commanded them. And you need to read the epistles to see what he commanded them. And I submit to you, this is not what's taught in most churches. They make like no commandments at all. At all. Now we got the spirit that we can fulfill the law of the commandments. So then when he said, let him be holy, let him be holy still, he did it just, let him be just still. He taught the churches in Asia Minor that those churches would have been taught the things that Jesus commanded. And all Jesus does is come and reiterate it. If you don't do it, I'll remove your candlestick. If you don't do it, I'll throw you in the bed with Jezebel. If you don't do it, you know, I can blot your name out of the book. They say, it doesn't say blot. I said, well, the ones that do it, I won't blot it out. Come on, let's be real. Let's don't have a preconceived notion when it comes to the word of God that he's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then he tell him, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I was God before I came to earth and took on the form of humanity. I laid aside my rights to operate like I did before. I became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. And that God is highly exalted to give me a name above every name. That at my name, at my knee, they should bow. All power in heaven and earth is given to me now. The kingdom is mine. I'm Alpha. I started it. I came and finished it. Of all of that. Somebody said, where you get finished from? I'm thinking Hebrews 12 and 1 or 12 and 2. He is the author and the okay then. He know who he is. We might not, but he does. And he said, blessed are they that do his commandments. That's why they're blessed. You're doing that of the mandate that I gave the apostles. And he says that they may have the right. We dealt with what the right means, the authority to enter to the tree of life or to eat of the tree of life. We've talked about a right, an authority that people say you don't have. You don't have a right. You don't have an authority to do so. He's promised it. He said it. He meant it. You cannot obligate God to something he did not say he would do. But that which he said he'd do, he still said, I'm Alpha and Omega. Now, he even told Abraham, I said, by myself I have sworn, boy, because you did this, you mine. We gonna do some things together. Somebody said, I don't know what that is. Read Genesis chapter 22. You'll see God talk about it. And he says, outside a dog. Dogs are those, according to we looked in Philippians 2, I believe in 3 one time, or 3 and 2. I think it's 3 and 2, yeah. And that's those that deal with the concision. Sorcerers, those that look to other source of power other than God. We dealt with this same list almost in Revelation 21 and 8. So I'm giving you the short version. Whoremongers, those that do whoredom, whether spiritual or physical. Murderers, those that kill physically. Those that kill with hatred by the words that they use. Idolaters, those that actually go and bow down to a statue or something of that sort, because you see you're dealing with the other God is covered in your whoremongering. And then whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Let me tell you something. As the children of God, those of us that share black skin, you can be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, or non-voter at all. But you better learn who God is and stop allowing yourself to be identified by a political party that does not love God, because I don't know one that does. I don't know one party that loves God. And if you think in your culture that because I'm this, I'm that, you better realize who God is. You are supposed to be the head and not the tail. Just like you're in this world and not of it, you may vote, but that doesn't mean you have to be a part of that party. You better hear the words of the Lord. We are supposed to be light and salt, and these parties need light and salt. Neither one of them will acknowledge the sovereign right of Christ the King in this world. They won't do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. They barely want to mention his name. I've said so much, but when I say love it and make it a lie, because one of the party Republicans often act like we love Jesus, we love God. It's not the God of the scriptures. Now we can go to verse 16. He said, I, Jesus, I sent somebody to testify these things. To who?
Unto you.
Read it again, 16.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches.
In the churches. Who? What churches? How many churches? Seven. It's still about you. It's still about you in your situation. Somebody say, Tim, but what about the... Of course, it's going to move into the future, but primarily, what was going on here? I need you to understand, because you are going to be a pinnacle of light of what I do in the future.
I'm going to show you how I deal. So in the future, it might come that people might think that because we're the church, we follow Jesus, we ain't going to be persecuted. We're not going to be persecuted. We're not going to have trials. We're not going to have apostasy. He won't judge us because we are in him. We claim Jesus. You are no different than the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, where people call God, they call Yahweh, and they didn't know the difference between Yahweh and Baal. They didn't know who was God. And Elijah said, who was on the Lord's side? Didn't he say, yeah, he did? And God said, look at my smoke. Wet everything down. I'll show you how I operate. And guess what else he did? He didn't make friends with the weak bubble gum. He didn't make friends with those that love God in another religion. I'm telling you, your political parties often are religion. Go to your computer. Look at the Republican platform. Look at the Democrat platform. Independent, libertarian platform. And you will see it's just like a statement of faith. Look at it and read it. It is not of God. Everything is political. God wants you to be in his political party. He is king. It's political.
And he says, who's on the Lord's side? And guess what God did? After he proved his point, after he mocked him, he killed him. He didn't make friends. 400 priests, 450 prophets, or it's backwards. It still ended up being 850 men. Now, we don't kill people. What we do is we cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I believe that 2 Corinthians 10:4. That's our job. We need to understand who we are while we're in this world. Now then.
And so he says to the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David.
When you say he's the root and the offspring, this is saying the same thing twice. One, the root is the Reza. And it's in the sense of descendant, and the same thing with offspring. In English, it looks like the root. I would take it to be the root as I'm the one that comes before David because I made David. But that's not when you look behind the English. So what I'm saying is true. He is the father. He is the creator of David. Don't ever get that wrong. He is David's Lord. Here he is. But in this particular place, when it says he is the root, and the offspring of David, excuse me, the beautiful thing that I saw in that is that I believe I pulled it up from Linsky. Let me see if I did, it's good. Before I go there, Dree, go to Matthew 22:41. I want to make that plain about when I said that he is still the originator of David, although that word is still both of them are descendants. I want, just in case people forget, just in case people don't know, that listen to this, he didn't just get his origination coming from David. He had origination before. Then I'll go back to what the text says. Jesus will explain this. If you read 40, start at verse 38, no, I don't want 38. Go to 41. Like I said, I was wrong. I was right before I got wrong.
While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, Yahweh said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Did you catch the question that Jesus asked those people? Whose son is he? They said, David. Then if he's David's son, then how can David call him Lord? Read some more, Dre.
If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word.
I just wanted to bring that out. So just in case somebody think, you know, Tim making it up as he go, I'm not making it up as I go. Let me read from Linsky. This is a set of commentaries, and this guy is considered to be really good in Greek. And here's the point that he's going to make. When it says, I'm the root, that is going to be singular and it's going to be feminine. And then when he says he's the offspring, then when you look at that one, that's going to be what is called neuter. This is the explanation that he gives. I can't prove it. I can't disprove it. So based upon the knowledge that he has more than me, I can see it. But let me go ahead and let me tell you what's going on here. It says in the book, the simple form Jesus is used most frequently. This is Linsky's. It's called The Interpretation of St. John's Revelation. Gary, you have this book, okay? In the book form, simple Jesus is used most frequently. We say, why? This is the name here he uses to designate himself, I, Jesus. Yet, this is not a mere formal matter. Jesus is the name given him at the time of the incarnation when he was born, at birth by God himself through the angel. Matthew 1:21, when the angel talks to Joseph and says, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from his sin. And Luke 1:31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. So you have Joseph here covered, and you have Mary covered. Now he is glorified, given this revelatory vision as the incarnate Son of God, our Savior, who by these revelations is working to save us. This is why he adds this great I am to all others found in the scriptures, in particular to the significant title used in verse 13. What is 13? I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Then he says, I am the shoot, that's the root, and the offspring of David. Reza, the shoot, or the root, is explained in 5:5, Revelation. And one of the elders said to me, weep not, behold, a lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals. Here comes the explanation. He gave the background. And is now defined by togenos. In Greek, the shoot is feminine, and the offspring is neuter. Both terms thus stating what Jesus is in human nature as David's descendant. In the genealogy of Matthew 1, it shows his legal relationship to David and Abraham by way of Joseph, his legal father. In Luke 3, it shows a descendant by way of Virgin Mary. The angel states that this, what this means in Luke 1:32-33, he should be son of the highest. The Lord should have given him the throne of his father David. And the next one, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The eternal throne of David. This implies more than David's line was conserved in Jesus, or that David's family was concentrated in Jesus. We thus see how I am fits the name of Jesus. In other words, what we are seeing, you have both lines. Where Joseph, you have Joseph as what's supposed to be the father. Mm-hmm. And then you have Mary's genealogy, mm-hmm. the feminine. Now, I wouldn't have got that. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to accept it. Right, I wouldn't have gotten that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have, you know, because certain things I don't pick up yet. That's why I cheat. That's why I read people that know stuff I don't know. Well, somebody
so
said
you get both offspring from the fact that one is feminine and one is feminine.
Correct. And if, you know, if you can find something wrong, I would really love to see it. But I do know that you got two sides showing. And remember, one is neuter.
Mm-hmm.
One is neuter. Now the Holy Spirit is neuter. When you read mm-hmm. the Spirit, that sometimes they'll put he, but it's neuter. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like when they talk about in the Spirit itself, mm-hmm. where it should be himself, according to context, but the Greek word is neuter. You got neuter and you got the Holy Spirit and you got feminine. Well, you know, when it comes from, we got feminine, you deal with Mary and Joseph. So you got a neuter, you got a feminine, and he's explaining it. And I mean, I could take it deeper, you know, as I do more study on, but I did want to bring up what Linsky had, because I thought that was kind of fascinating. Because it bothered me that he was saying it twice the same way, because I think a root is where you get your origination from, mm-hmm. not that every tree has a branch. Let's go to this one. N-E-U-T-E-R. Like in a car, it has a neutral. Neuter. Like when they take a dog and they make him unable to make children. Neuter. But in language, now Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a masculine, a feminine, and a neuter. That it,
in some language. Spanish doesn't have a neuter.
Wow.
There is slightly a neuter low, but low is generally masculine, but that's something else, but generally
Well, Greek has a neuter. It's not masculine or feminine. And how do I know this? Because I have equipment to teach me. Now, it says, I'm the bright and morning star. Now, do you remember in Revelation chapter 2 and 2, Jesus promises them a bright, that they would partake of the morning star? Does anybody remember that? Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to the book of Numbers. And I want you to see something. Numbers 24 and 17. I want you to see what the Lord God has to say, Jesus. Yeah, Numbers 24, that's Balaam talking. The people follow Balaamite, but I need you to understand, the only thing that you can take from Balaam is what he says here. Somebody read Numbers 24 and 17.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob.
Not just a root. Not just a descendant. But he's going to be called something more. A star. Read some more.
There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.
And you know, Anne loved that scripture. And I'll get ready to say Jacob 49 and 12, but it's actually Genesis 49 and 12. And Jacob is going to be telling his son that they will come. Read it, Anne. I'm going to quote it. I feel like I'm going to add to it or take it away more than the essence. But the essence of it is that Judah is going to be in charge. Help me now. 49 and 12.
His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. You said Genesis 49 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for.
She said it's 10 because I get ready to click in the computer. Would bother me. Okay. It's like while we at Zebulun, we supposed to be at Judah. Read it again now that I got it right.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah.
Uh-huh. Notice how these things go together.
Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes.
Now, listen to this. Remember Jesus said, all power's in my hand. Teach them to observe all things I command. And people say they're not under the law, but Paul said, I'm not without law, I'm under the law of Christ. Do you understand? I'm giving you commandments. He told them one time, I got a new commandment to give you, John 13 and 35, and I know that's right. Love one another as I have loved you. And so now we got a lawgiver coming from there, and it's not Moses or Aaron. And Balaam is saying in the 24th chapter, verse 17, a star. Oh, I'm talking about royalty. It's going to come out of Jacob. And what is he going to do?
And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Shem.
Somebody's probably saying, well, Moab was already gone. Well, let me tell you something. Moab was a kinfolk, kin people to them. Just like Edom was. And I believe your picture is given there. Read some more.
And Edom shall be a possession. Seir shall also be a possession for his enemies,
mm-hmm.
and Israel shall do valiantly.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion.
Shall have what?
Dominion.
Didn't we read that in Daniel 7 and 13 throughout this book so many times? Read some more.
And shall destroy him that remains of the city.
And his came here to destroy the works of the devil. Read some more.
And when he looked on Amalek,
on who?
On Amalek.
Remember I was talking about Amalek a little while ago and I said we'll get to it?
Mm-hmm.
When he looked on Amalek, the enemy of God, what did he do?
He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever.
Some believe, and I don't remember exactly, I think his name was Bilakoski. I think it's Emmanuel Bilakoski.
Mm-hmm.
And, huh?
What?
Bilakoski, I think, is Rome or in Russian. I think he was a Russian Jew. But the Amalek was actually Semitic, and that he was the Hisco that took over Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went through Exodus, and I said the Hisco took over Egypt, mm-hmm. and they were not the nature of they weren't real Egyptians, mm-hmm. and that they had taken over. Mm-hmm. And then when Moses come on the scene, you get that mold, like Moses, like Thutmose, Akmos, mm-hmm. and that when another king that rose that didn't know Moses, then the Egyptians got to be back over in charge of their own. Mm-hmm. He believed that Amalek was in, but see, he was the first of the nations. He was somebody big. He was someone powerful, mm-hmm. and God said, destroy him. Saul didn't do it. Saul wanted to keep the law. But he didn't want to fulfill the law. David knew the fulfillment of the law was in the spirit. And so when Jesus told him to keep the commandments and teach these things, he is the lawgiver. And when he tells them, I'll give you the bright morning star, he said, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you. Now somebody said, I want a real present. Does that sound funny to anybody? How many people do you think, when you watch TV, want Jesus to give them a present, a car, a husband, a boat, good health, and don't really want him? Yes. He told Levi, I'm your inheritance, baby boy. I'm your inheritance. You don't look at all that land. What if God would be our inheritance? That's what he wants to be. Let's go back to the book of the Revelation. I just wanted to bring it out about the bright morning star is that he's actually going to give them himself. And I thought that if we looked and we saw that, he said it in 2 and 28, as the individual that overcome, let me read it right quick. 2 and 27, ooh, this is so pretty. Read 25, Tim. 2 and 25, but that which you already have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my words, or keep my commandments that you were told, observe, and do until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. I'm the star. I got dominion. I got the power. I'm the one that went to the ancient of days. I got the power. I'm going to give it to you because I'm going to have you to do greater works than I did. He says, I will give you power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of the potter, they will be broken into shivers. I have received this of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He has an ear. This is what he promises him. And he's still at the end of, I'm promising you this, and I'm telling you what the morning star is, just in case you didn't remember. I give you me. Glory to God. Bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. Read the next verse in the 22nd chapter, please.
And the spirit and the bride say, come.
Come. The bride, who is the bride? The bride of the church. Come. We want to be together with you. Read some more.
And let him that hears say, come.
In the first chapter, blessed are they that hear these words and keep it. Come. What else?
And let him that is athirst come.
This is not the first time he told you what to do when you're thirst. 7:37, John. Look, I got the water. Mm-hmm. He'll come to me if you thirst. Out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. If you thirst, come. I'm giving you the bright morning star. Come. Mm-hmm. Give it. Read some more.
And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Do you understand that people always modified, changed the definition of things, and altered God's word? If you do what I just said to this, and you alter this which I have sent and signified my angel and gave to my servant John, and I have told you how I'm going to deal, no matter what's going on in this time, and you say, well, maybe we can work with the Balaamites. Or maybe we can take the mark of the beast and still have Jesus. Or maybe we can go with the Nicolaitans. If you believe that, I will add to you the plagues. Now, because I don't believe that this is talking about in the future, that doesn't make it so. But for those that believe that this will be in the future, understand this. If it's going to be in the future, it would have had to at least be for these people here. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I see. What God has told them is going to be applicable for me and for you.
Look at how he dealt with them, and you will know how he's going to deal with us, because God said he doesn't change. Malachi 3 and 6. So therefore, if they added, if they modified his word, whatever was going to happen during that time of the plague come, that's going to be added to you. I believe for those of us today, we add to his word, change his word, take on other doctrines, take on political parties that go against God. He's going to add to us maybe even worse than these plagues here. Much more, because when God gives an example of a pattern of what he does to one group, the next group is worse. Were you not afraid? Were you not afraid to go against me? Ahola and Ahola, you were not afraid? After you saw what I did, you must be stupid. Read some more, please.
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city.
Again, you got people that say that, God, that you know, there's nothing you can do. I read the scripture. I have to have a presupposition that God won't do certain things before I can believe it. My presupposition is that an individual through the times of trial and they give up, they lose heart, or because of advantage, they turn away from God, and they say, well, we can take a little bit. We're hungry. We can't buy a sale. They won't let us operate. And you add to. You modify. You know, like, we might have somebody say, well, that was in the old days when men couldn't marry men. Or that was in the old days when you couldn't steal. If you're hungry, you can steal. God understands. Or you can hate somebody because their skin color different than you. You know, because some of them had us as slaves. If you want to hate everybody, if you're black, that has had you a slave, then you have to hate your own people. Mm-hmm. You have to hate everybody that's black, too. Trust me. They were making slaves out of each other. The Semites made, let me read the Bible. The Semites made slaves out of people. Jews made slaves out of people. Come on, men want to dominate and rule. But if you add to it, God, look at this, this is so good. You take away, God's going to take away. Out of the book of life, and if you take away you out of the book of life, that means you're not in the book of life, you're in the lake of fire, and out of the holy city. The holy city, the new Jerusalem is the people of God. You will be out of that. You will no longer be a citizen of heaven. You will be cast down to earth. You will be where you live. And from the things which are written in this book, and he testified what?
He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
I believe that those people that would read this, if this did not give them comfort on a high level, but also on a high level to understand, because of the children of God does not mean that trouble is not going to come our way and we will have to cry sometime, but he's given you enough information to understand that all things are going to work together for the good if you love God, or if you're the one of them that are called according to his purpose. And he says, surely I come quickly. It's not going to always be this way for you. I am going to judge. And he says, surely. Don't you understand this? Surely. And then he says, amen. The same word that is used to speak of his truth. He is the amen. And we went through quickly the other night, and I showed you everywhere in the Bible where quickly is used, and it always is a near time. And then he says, even so come, Lord Jesus. And verse 21 says what?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Well, let's finish this on this last thing with Titus 2 and 12 to tell you what his grace is. And he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And we'll just say this was an elongated introduction of Revelation. So we're going to go through the book again.
Teaching us that.
Read the verse above.
For the grace of God that brings salvation.
So if he says the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, amen. What's the grace for? At least we know this book was written to them. Mm-hmm. And we see that it's ended because he said to the churches in the 22nd chapter. So what is the grace that they should be looking at in the midst of their trouble?
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Doing what?
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Good God Almighty, I think that's a beautiful way for us to, because this was going to be going through the Revelation, but since we're going through it once, it's just like it was an intro. We're familiar with the parts now. Mm-hmm. We're familiar with the parts. Somebody say, well, how does this apply to the end of the world? The grace of God has not changed. When Paul wrote that letter to Titus was at that time for him to set things in order, because Titus would put things in order. Mm-hmm. He had to tell Timothy, don't be afraid. But Titus would set things in order. And not only would he set things in order, you got certain things that you need to teach to these people that you are dealing with right here. Now, if we say because that's already been fulfilled, it has no application to us, throw away your Bible, because all of your Bible happened before we came on the scene. But the Bible says when Paul told Timothy, for the people that he was dealing with, he dealt with people in Corinth, etc., he told them that all scripture was given by the inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So therefore, seeing that the Bible is showing God's resume to man, when we look at the book of the Revelation, it should be no great thing that God spoke to the people about things that were going to happen in their time. It should be no great thing to see that we can look from that and see God's pattern and know with the information he has given us about these people, how much more should we be afraid to add to his word or to take away from his word? Somebody say, well, Tim, it's got a lot of stuff about the end of the world. Yes, it does, but I don't believe it gives us every aspect in great detail. I think it'll be worse. I think it'll be much worse for those that don't hold on. But I believe for those that do, that God is going to bring us to the place where we're going to fulfill that that Israel didn't. And why would I say that as I finish? The Bible says explicitly, he's going to crush Satan under our feet. Somebody said, but that was for the Romans. Well, it didn't happen then, did it? Mm-hmm. It happened to some. But I think God has a mandate that we are to salt the earth. And somebody said, well, what does that mean about him coming soon? Look, I got books to show people been saying God, Jesus is going to come back soon and end the world. And I got plenty of prophecies of that. What I see is that we act like we can't conquer Canaan. We can't conquer Canaan. The reason we can't conquer Canaan, we send our people to their school. We send our children to the public school that was set up to go against God. Harvard University was actually once a reformed school. Mm-hmm. They actually believed in the sovereignty of God. They actually taught the teachings of John Calvin. And when the Unitarians came in, they believed that man is basically good and that man is basically righteous and his environment changes him and makes him different than what he is. And that all he needs to do is be educated. And he can learn how to make a utopia on earth. They got rid of all of the Christians and look at what Harvard is now. Our educational system has nothing to do with care, nothing about God. They elevate science above God. And guess what? They fudge the papers so many times so that they can get grants. Can you imagine the children of Israel sending their children to the Canaanites for school? Or to the Moabites for school, and then they're going to come back and serve God. Public school system is a new phenomenon, and it was not set up to bless us. It was set up so that we would lose our identity in being the people of God. You see, because when America really was founded, there were people that really did believe in God, and you have some that people show different things, deists, etc. But when you get down to the nitty gritty, there were people that really believed and they did not like what the king was doing. They did not like what the queen was doing. And one day we'll talk more about that. But Rome was in the position of being the king. Rome wanted to rule. And God has the rule. Somebody said, but Tim, what about those of us who have to send our kids? Well, we've accepted a lot of wickedness from our government. That's why a lot of us have debt, even me. Bible said the rich rule the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. If we had been taught that God's economic system is not based upon borrowing, if we had been taught that God's system is not based on something like that, that you put yourself and make yourself a servant to somebody else other than God, if we had learned that God had a system and the way he wanted his children taught, we expose that children to different kind of diseases and things like that in the school, it's getting worse. We're bringing in people from other countries. But anyway, that's another issue. This information was given to them so that they would be able to stand fast in the midst of trouble. We ought to let it comfort our hearts. And as we go through it again, I won't go through it exactly the same way. I'll try to bring in more study, more research, but we will need to do a little bit more in Genesis again, just a little. I just said we need to do a little bit more in what we call the Old Testament. Just key things sort of as we go through this time. I don't know if it'll be as detailed, but at least we're going to be able to pull things, and I think we'll have better questions, more questions. What about this? What about that? But we're going to be as familiar, I think, with the book of the Revelation as many people are familiar with other books of the Bible. So I do appreciate you all telling me we're going to do this again. With that, I want to close for today and open us up for discussion, and hopefully, you know, we'll be ready to receive the bright morning star. Hopefully, we'll be one of those people that looking for him to come. I want him to come and continually come. Come into my heart. Come into our heart. Help us to be what he'd have us to be. Father, thank you for your blessed, righteous, and your eternal word. Thank you for showing us that you do want us to observe all of the things that you command so we can be blessed. We ask you to help us, guide us, and strengthen us. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. We're now just going to, if there's going to be any discussion to be had, great. If there's not any,